This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
They give them antibiotics right away. If you catch it early, you can get rid of it. But back then, they didn't have those antibiotics, and so it's like a flesh-eating disease. It eats your fingertips and your earlobes and your nose, and it looks horrendous. But at any rate, here is this man who was humiliated. He was a great warrior, but yet he was humiliated by this disease. And they used to think it was very contagious. Well, it's not. They found out it's not as highly contagious as they thought. But nevertheless, it was very degrading to him. And we find that he heard about a prophet in Israel whose name was Elisha. And someone told him, listen, if you go to Elisha and have him pray for you, you'll get rid of that leprosy. And so we get down here to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9, and it says, so Naaman with his horses and chariots arrived in style, stopped at Elisha's door. Elisha sent out a servant to meet him with this message. Now, Elisha didn't even come out and talk to him. He sent his servant to tell him what to do. His servant told him, go to the river Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times. In other words, just dunk yourself in that Jordan River 7 times, and what's going to happen? Your skin will be healed, and you'll be good as new. Well, Naaman lost his temper, it says. He turned on his heels, saying, I thought he'd personally come out and meet me. Call on the name of God, wave his hand over my diseased spot, and get rid of my disease. And he didn't do it, did he? And then he went on to say, well, the Damascus rivers, right where I live, you know, the rivers of Abana and Parfar, are cleaner by far than the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least get clean. He stomped off mad as a hornet. How many know he had a bit of a pride problem? He needed to humble himself. And because we're going to see in a moment that he did finally humble himself. Because, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:33 that before honor is humility. Say that with me. Before honor is humility. How many remember in James, I think it is 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you notice, before you resist the devil, before you exercise your authority, you've got to submit to God, right? You've got to have a surrendered heart. And so, what's his name? Naaman did surrender finally. And it says, but his servants caught up with him and said, Father, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard and heroic, would you have done it? So why not this simple wash and be clean? And I guess this servant made him think, well, maybe if I could get my healing, maybe I will go over to that dirty Jordan River and dunk myself 7 times. And can you picture him dunking? 1 time, nothing happened. 2 times, nothing happened. 3 times, nothing. 4, 5, 6, nothing happened. But on the 7th time, he came up, and he was totally healed of leprosy. It said, so he did, and he went and immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times, following the orders of the holy man. His skin was healed. It was like the skin of a little baby. He was as good as new. He then went back to the holy man, and he and his entourage stood before him and said, I now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God, there is no God anywhere on earth other than the God of Israel. In gratitude, let me give you a gift. As God lives, Elisha replied, the God whom I serve, I'll take nothing from you. Naaman tried his best to get him to take something, but he wouldn't do it. Well, the reason he wouldn't take any money is because you can't buy the gift of God. I mean, you can't buy a healing. I remember one time we were asked, another fellow and I went to a home of a Muslim fellow. And he was having all sorts of problems in his household. With the Muslims, a lot of times they have 2-3 families living in one household. A lot of difficulties. So we wound up praying with them, and a peace of God came into that house. And just there was, a presence of God, if you know what I mean. And so he was so grateful. He offered us some, we had a little bit of pop and some crackers and stuff. And then he tried to pay me. I said, oh, no, we can't take any money for that. You know, I'll take a little pop, but soda pop, but that's about it. But anyway, a healing. You cannot buy the gift of God. So today, I want you to see that Nahum was about that close to missing his miracle because he did not want to humble himself. Pride is an enemy to receiving from God. But I want you to know the surrendered heart gets the prize. The surrendered heart gets the trophy. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says he will exalt you in due season. So now let's contrast Nahum with another fella. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 8, and let's look at another guy in the scriptures here. And he was a centurion. He was also a man of prestige and honor. He'd won many battles, and he was a Roman centurion. And let's see how he responded. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5 says, as Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a Roman captain came in a panic and said, Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Oh, no, said the captain, very humbly. He says, I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order and my servant will be fine. And the King James says, speak the word and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes to another, come, and he comes to my slave, do this, and he does. But he humbled himself and said, you just say the word, and my servant will be healed. You don't have to come to my house. Taken aback, Jesus said, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel, the very people who are supposed to know all about God and how he works. In the King James, it says, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in all Israel. And the Bible goes on to say that Jesus marveled at his faith. Now, here's God himself, Jesus. There aren't too many times in the Bible that anybody caused Jesus to marvel. But here's a situation where God marveled. He marveled at his faith. But where did his faith start? It started with some humility, didn't it? And so, this man is the vanguard of many outsiders who will soon be coming from all directions, streaming in from the east, pouring in from the west, sitting down at God's kingdom banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then those who grew up in the faith but had no faith will find themselves out in the cold, outsiders to grace, and wondering what happened. Then Jesus turned to the captain and said, go, what you believed could happen has happened. And at that moment, his servant became well. He became totally healed. So quite a contrast from Nahum, right? Here's a man who humbled himself. A man who realized that before honor is humility. And before I got born again, before I came to the Lord, I had some pride. And it really kept me from surrendering totally to Jesus. Now, my wife was ready to leave me, but I paid the rent, so she decided to stay. I was headstrong and somewhat cantankerous before salvation kicked in. Till I got so miserable in my life, like Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus? He came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. And he said, good master, you must be God because nobody can do miracles like you do. And what can I do to enter heaven? And Jesus said, well, you must be born again. John 3:7. Because otherwise, you can't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't even see the kingdom of heaven. So I was kind of the same way. Like Nicodemus, who came by night, the Bible says. And the reason he came by night is because he was part of the Sanhedrin, 72-man Sanhedrin, and he probably didn't want his buddies saying, "What are you doing? Well, off with your head, man. You going to Jesus, you know?" Because ultimately, they were the ones that voted to crucify Jesus. Did you know that? Well, I probably felt a little bit the same way. I thought, man, what are my buddies that are in the Sheet Metal Workers Union going to say if I give my heart to Jesus, you know? I was concerned about what they'd think, you know? And so finally, and they probably put me down and, you know, because those guys like to cut up on each other and stuff. So anyhow, I came to the place where I was finally at the end of myself. And I needed a change. I was in a rut. And I got to the place where I didn't care what my buddies thought. I care what God thought. So I was so broken and miserable and empty that I threw myself on the mercy of God. And a huge weight was lifted off of me, off of my shoulders. And I was basically saying, "Move over, self. I'm going to put God in the driver's seat. I'm going to dethrone self at the helm of my ship, and I'm going to put him at the helm of my ship." Amen. He's flying my spaceship right now, right? Rocket Man, right? So I've made a royal mess of my life, and I'm going to put my trust in you, Jesus, from now on. And when I did, everything changed. In fact, take a look with me in your Bibles at Luke chapter 21. I want you to see a scripture here. Luke chapter 20, verse 17. Luke 20, 17. How many tracking with me today on this? All right, Luke chapter 20 and verse 17. It says, Luke 20, 17. It says, "And he beheld them and said," now this is Jesus speaking, he says, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner." Now, you all know that's talking about Jesus. He's the stone that the builders rejected. He's the stone that the Jews rejected. Remember, it says concerning Jesus in John chapter 1 that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to them, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He was the stone that the builders rejected, right? Verse 18, "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Wow. So what he's saying here is, Jesus is that rock, right? He's that stone. And it says, you either fall on the stone, fall on the rock, because of your broken condition like I was, or someday, in judgment, that rock, Jesus, is going to fall on you. That's really what it means. So you got your choice. Either fall on the rock now, or wait till judgment until the rock falls on you. Because it's going to happen, church. Those are God's words right there, right? And so, I had to humble myself, surrender, get out of my captain's seat, and let him fly my airplane, as it were. Well, John 14, 6 says, Jesus is the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, I'm three things. I'm the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. He is a life beyond the life that you've experienced. Right? He has eternal life for you. And I wasn't experiencing much life in my emptiness, in my miserable condition. And he said, "I am the way." He is the way to peace and satisfaction and gratification and ending of chaos and confusion. And that's when I found real meaning in my life, when I surrendered to him, when I finally gave up and let him have control of my life. And he has good things in store for us when we do. We were watching 700 Club, and there's this man that was 105 years old. He owned a beet farm. And still in fairly good shape, 105 years old. And they asked him the question, "Well, what's the secret to your longevity?" He said, "Keep moving and serve God and put Him first in your life. Wow. Serve God, put Him first in your life. Well, He humbled Himself before God. See, God told, He told us in Psalm chapter 8 that He's going to crown us with glory and honor. But the glory comes after humility, right? Honor comes after, humility before honor in Proverbs 15:33. So I needed to humble myself at the cross, deny myself, my own personal selfish desires, take up my cross and follow Him. So I'll say it again, salvation encompasses so many good things. But the first step to accessing them is to humble yourself before God, step out in faith, receive Him, so that you can obtain all things that pertain to life and godliness, so that you can obtain peace of mind, new hope for your life, forgiveness, cleansing, glory to God, healing, the power of the Holy Spirit, miracles, prosperity, and life more abundantly. Amen. How many have found that to be true when you've made Jesus Lord of your life? Assurance of heaven. You've got a citizenship in heaven. You've got a passport to paradise someday. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can enjoy this life a whole lot more. Yes. Amen. I was listening to the radio the other day, and the guy was saying on the radio that life is tough. And I thought, yeah, but it's a whole lot easier with Jesus. Isn't that right? Come on. It's true. But we all have dealt with pride. I did, even as a young man. I was talking to my wife, telling her about, I remember when I played high school football. It was 1962, and we were the MAC champs that year. But anyhow, I was a defensive middle guard, and when I make a tackle, I made sure that I turned my back to the press box so they could get my number so they'd be sure to say, that tackle was made by Reynolds. That's a little bit of ego, isn't it? That's a true story. That really happened. Anyhow, we need to be delivered from ourselves, right? Now, whenever I became a Christian, and I found out, well, there's something more. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can have access to the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, and so forth and so on. So I was working with some young people at that time, and there was a young high school kid who was a wrestler, big kid, good athlete. And he came to me and he said, let me ask you, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, yeah. He says, how do you know? I says, well... And I couldn't really give him a good answer. And he said, then you're not. I thought, who's this young punk trying to tell me, you know, I don't have the Holy Ghost, you know. And I didn't. He says, well, come with me to this charismatic Bible study, please. And so I didn't want to go, but just in deference to him, I went. But here again, that pride, I was still resisting all of that. And so he came to my house to pick me up, to take me to this Bible study, and I just dilly-dallied. I took my time, and I made us late on purpose. We got there at the very end of it, and I experienced this prayer that like I've never heard before, you know. And my goodness, and whew, I thought, yeah, I remember standing there holding people's hands and praying, and I thought, God, if this is of you, show me. And he did show me. And it was real. And he showed me in the scriptures how it was real. But anyhow, I was resistant to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that particular meeting was an introduction to the Spirit-filled life, to the Pentecostal life. And ultimately, I surrendered and I went from a Methodist to a Pentecostal. A Methodist to a Methodical. Now, my wife received that experience before I did. She was more humble and submitted than I. And she got filled with the Holy Ghost watching Captain Kangaroo with the kids in the front room. And they're at home. So I come home and she was all excited. And she says, hey, guess what? I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I didn't have it. So I says, oh, that's nice. But you see, I didn't want to let go. I didn't want to give up control of my mouth. And see, that's what you do when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You give up control of your mouth. The Bible says the tongue is an evil, it's an unruly member. It's full of poison. It's set on fire of hell, the Bible says in James. And so we don't want to let go of control of our tongue and let God control it. But finally, this one friend that I had, I said, I want what he's got. And I surrendered and I received this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And what a huge transformation in my life. I had a new boldness. My words took on a new power to share the gospel of Jesus like never before. And I began to win people to the Lord like never before. And I saw lives totally changed. I saw guys gloriously born again, miraculously changed. Heroin addicts set free. Alcoholics set free. Some of these people even went into full-time ministry. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit opened the door to the gifts of the Spirit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of healing, working of miracles, and the gift of faith. But it all began when I surrendered and gave up. And I'll just make this general statement. Every time I ever surrendered to God and gave up control of something, He blessed my life for it. He lifted me. He did something wonderful in my life. When I took that leap of faith and said, no, God, I'm going to trust on you. I want all that you've got for me. Take a look in your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says over there in verse 5, 1 Peter 5, 5, verse 4. Let's start with verse 4. And when he, the chief shepherd, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. He wants us to be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God is going to resist pride, and He's going to give grace to people who are willing to humble themselves. You say, what's grace? Grace is God's willingness to use His power and His ability on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. Yeah, that's what grace is. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 that we're saved by grace through faith. Well, who's going to get the grace to get saved? The humble. He gives grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. And so He was resisting me all these years until I decided to surrender my heart to Him. And He goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season, in due time. Humble yourselves. And when you do, what's He going to do? When you humble yourself, He's going to exalt you. He's going to promote you. He's going to lift you. He's going to do something wonderful with your life. Do you believe that today? Once again, before honor is humility. And so, even in my marriage, pride was messing up my marriage too. Before I was born again, I was resistant to any counsel. Until one day we were in a doctor's office, and there was some literature there in the waiting room, and I picked it up and began to read it, and I thought, oh my, I'm missing it a mile in my marriage. But it was about enhancing your marriage relationship. And at this point, I became teachable, and I was willing to apply these principles, willing to be changed. There's a song that talks about willing to be changed. It's kind of a country song. I won't sing it for you, anyhow. But what you don't know will hurt you. Some people say, oh, what you don't know won't hurt you. No, what you don't know will hurt you. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I was dwelling with my wife according to ignorance and stupidity. I needed some information, right? And so I was willing to be changed. And so I began to learn. And our marriage grew and became better and better. Now we've been married 57 years, 58 next month, right? 58 years next month. Glory to God. Amen. And we still love each other, still have a good time. Amen. Went to the Big Knob Fair yesterday and then took in the first half of the Geneva game. Having a good time. Amen. But the road to favor with God is humble yourself. Acknowledge your dependence upon Him, because the surrendered heart gets the trophy and wins the prize. Now listen, I'm not talking about letting people walk all over you or to be a doormat for people. What's your rut that you're in? Are you disappointed in life? Are you down on yourself? Are you despondent? You're distressed? Huh? Because you're not any further ahead right now than you are? You want to be farther ahead than you are? Are you bound by some addiction? Booze, marijuana, gambling, pornography, smoking? What rut are you in that's keeping you from God's best? Keeping you from God's healthy longevity. Amen? And if you're in a rut, you hate it. Amen. You don't like it? Well, sure, you want to quit. Well, I got news for you. Jesus is the rut buster. I didn't say dust buster. I said he's the rut buster, okay? He can bust that rut for you. Amen. Maybe it's fear that's controlling your life. For years, He can break the power if you'll let Him, if you'll humble yourself before Him. Most people deep down want to be free, but He gives grace to the humble. Jesus wants to lift you out of your rut and bring liberty. Lift that weight off of your shoulder so that you can surrender and get God's power in your life. Isaiah 10:27 says, "And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." I like Micah 6:8. It's a good thing to live by. He says in Micah 6:8, "I will show you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God." Amen? Amen. And so, be teachable. Teach your children that before honor comes humility. Teach your children about humility. And Proverbs 15:5 says, "A wise man receives instruction,
yes,
but a fool doesn't take instruction from his father." Proverbs 13:18 says, "Poverty and shame will come to the man who won't receive instruction, but honor will come to the man who will humble himself." So parents, if you humble yourself before God, guess what? Your kids probably will too. Do you know mental institutions are full of people that had pride, a lot of pride? Couldn't surrender to God. So it's all about saying, move over, self. I'm going to put God in the driver's seat.
Amen.
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 Put Him at the helm of your ship.
Amen.
God, you take over. You're in charge. I need a miracle.
Amen.
Well, that miracle begins with humbling yourself before God. Then exercise your faith. But that's a key to receiving your miracle. Knock that chip off your shoulder. Eat some humble pie. Amen. Then become a worshiper of God.
Amen.
And enter into His presence, exalting Him. I'm going to ask you today, is your faith working at its optimum? If it's not, maybe you need to start with humbling yourself before God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I think we'll entitle this message, "The Surrendered Heart." The Surrendered Heart. Because it's a key. It's a key to the prospering life, the longevity that you want. It's a key to the miracle that you need. It's starting by humbling yourself before God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you today that you've given us grace to be saved, Father. And you give that grace to the humble. And so, Father, we thank you that every person that prayed that prayer this morning, earlier, has received your grace. They're saved by grace through faith. And Lord, help them now. Teach them from your word, Father. Help them to be teachable and gain insights from your word, Father, so that they can live victoriously as overcomers in life. Thank you for doing it, Father. Anybody right now, just with a show of hands, while our heads are bowed, just say, yes, Lord, I received that message today. And I see areas of my life that I need to humble myself. Okay, I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Yes, I see that. Anybody else? Say, yes, I see that hand over there. Say, yes, I'm receiving that. I'm going to humble myself before God from now on. So then just everybody just pray this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that my salvation has been sealed by the blood of Jesus. I have a new covenant with you, a new life in you. So I surrender my life entirely to you. Do a work in my life. Get me out of the rut so that I can live free, liberated, emancipated in Jesus' name. Amen. Give Jesus a hand this morning. He's awesome. Glory to God. Well, let's worship him as we go.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.